Jehoshaphat, Doresh, he set himself in a position to seek God. That's where we need to be, amen? When trouble comes, folks, we get so overwhelmed sometimes, we forget how great our God is. I will tell you this, and I tell people this all the time. My church hears this constantly. There is absolutely nothing. You hear what I'm saying, young people? You hear what I'm saying, older people? There is absolutely nothing that you will ever face that will be greater than God's love for you. That is a fact. And when we begin to instill that within our hearts, set it as concrete, and set ourselves to seek God's face, there's nothing that will overcome us. You have already won the victory through Jesus, so you don't fight for victory. You fight from victory, amen, because of who your God is. And He is able to do far and exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever think or imagine. God is that good, amen, all the time. Praise God. If you will, I don't know what your standard is, but I sense it's stand when the word is read. Amen. Psalm 145. It's a psalm of David. He's literally giving praise. Let's look at this. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. The kingdom, thy kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand, and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His word. You may be seated. Wow. Think about it. You talk about a song of praise. This is a song of praise. Amen? I absolutely would have loved to been in David's time and heard this psalm. It's a song. I would have loved to have heard it sung. I don't know. I'll turn this thing down a little bit. Sung the way they did in the Old Testament era. When David wrote this, you can almost sense, as you read it, you can sense the passion that he has for God. Can you not? There's a burning, a heated passion that he has in his heart for God. And it comes out. It's exhibited in this song that he's sang, and the worship of his spirit. I tell you, folks, he was on fire for God.
the words that we read here are so encouraging and uplifting. It speaks literally of a God who loves us.
Yes.
Wow. One who helps us. One who is above and greater than all things. And listen to this. He has a mind for us and a heart extended to us. This psalm is so theological in form and context that it literally shouts out who God is, what he does, what men say of him, and how we should individually see him. Look with me again as it describes God. Look at verse 3. Great. Great, it says, is our Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Look at verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Slow. Aren't you glad he's slow to anger?
Yeah.
Slow to anger. I'm pretty sure I get God a little frustrated at times. Slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Look at verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Listen, an everlasting kingdom means you have to have an everlasting God. Amen?
Amen.
The king's got to be everlasting. Aren't you glad that there's no end to God? Praise God, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. I want you to understand this. If God's dominion endureth, you as his child can endure.
Amen.
That is encouraging and heartening to me. Look at verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works. Literally, these verses describe who our God is. They allow us the insight into the character and the person of God. This is what, folks, I tell you, this is what our world needs to know.
Amen.
They need to know who our God is.
Yes.
Folks, our world is so broken right now.
Yes.
Our country is so fragmented. It's almost like taking a plate of glass and throwing it down and it bursting into hundreds of thousands of pieces. Is so fragmented, and it's so hard to bring that back together. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe if we were to come under the authority of Almighty God, it can be accomplished.
Amen.
But until we do, we come to God, and we seek God's will to do it his way. You see, there's a problem. There's a problem. Many times, we want to do God's will. If you're like me, I want God's will. You know where the problem comes in most of the time I see? I'm not doing it God's way. I want to do mine. I want to interject. I want to be like a turkey. I want to stick with a needle, some of that juice in there, and get my part in it. And what we try to do is God's will our way. And we mess it up. And God can't bless that. You see, God, he has a perfect will, but he also has a perfect way. And he expects, he demands, and I'm going to tell you this, he deserves not only that we do his will, but we do it his way. Amen?
Amen.
To seek to do God's will his way. But we've got a broken world. We've got a fragmented country, confused. They're confused. They're looking for something, for someone who is stable and who is solid, who is all that they're ever wanting. This passage has some good news.
Amen.
There is a God who is great, who knows the emptiness people feel inside. It tells us, it shouts out, there is a God who can understand and love those who feels no one really care. There's a God, it says, who forgives what we think and what we tend to say is the unforgivable. There's a God. There is a God, it speaks of, who gives us true purpose. A higher purpose than we could ever have or be a part of without him. God has a purpose for you today. I hear more I guess this is probably the most stated thing I hear from a lot of Christians. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm going to share something with you, folks. God doesn't want you clueless. He doesn't want you to be living in the dark. He's got your answer right here. The problem is we don't go here to seek what he wants us to do. He's already told us. He's already shown us. He's already revealed this to us. All we have to do is go in and see what he says. And we'll find we won't be walking around confused. We'll find that our country will have purpose. Our country will become stable if we'll turn to God and the authority of his holy word. Amen? It'll happen. He is a God who wants us to know him. Not just about him. You know, I was a person, I knew about God. There was no doubt in my mind that there was a God. I knew about him, but I didn't know him personally. God's desire was that I would come to know him in a personal, intimate way, not just about him, but that I could do like Hebrews says, I could walk in to the very throne room of God. You know, I could knock on the door of the White House and I can't get in. The president doesn't know me from anybody else. But there's a difference with my God. My God knows me intimately. And the Bible tells me that any time I come knocking on the door of my God, he says, come on in. I've got all the time. I've got your answers. I've got your help. You come on to me, son. You need comfort? I've got arms that can wrap around you and give you security and give you strength. I can help you and I can care for you. I've got direction for you. Sad to say, many of us go in different directions. Many of us go to other areas rather than to God. Here, God wants us to know who he is. Look at what it says God does, though. Look at verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those, listen, all those that be bowed down. Look at verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. God not only knows what we want, but what we need when we need it. How awesome is that? Amen. My goodness. Look at verse 16. Thou openest, I love this verse. This speaks picture volumes to me. He says, Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. Here I want you to see, I want you to get a picture of someone who literally has food in their hand. Okay? They have food in their hand and they hold it out. Yeah, how many of you ever been to a petting zoo? Y'all ever been to a pet zoo? Those of you who haven't, you need to go to that Lucky Five Ranch down towards Asheboro and ride the buggy that they've got. Sit in there. Our church went there one time with a bunch of our kids, and I had some of the older people, and I had this one older lady. She was in her 70s, and we climbed up in that buckboard, and they had wild, exotic animals there. No, I won't say wild. They're kind of domesticated, I guess. But they're running free out there, okay? And what you do is you get a bucket of this feed. And I'm going to tell you, Nate, I'm going to warn you. When you go out there, some of them got tons that long. This Watusi, this water buffalo comes out there. His horns were longer than the buckboard. And we had a bucket of food. And one of the kids was towards the end of the buckboard and with the other kids. And some of the animals would come and they'd toss it out like that. Or the animals would stick their tongue out. With a lot of slime. I think that's originally where slime, the idea of slime, came from. And they'll stick their tongues out and they'll give them that feed, those pellets, you know. And they'll feed them. Well, that Watusi came to the buckboard and he couldn't get his horns in, so he's banging on there. The kids get scared. They're running to the other side of the buckboards, hollering and screaming. This 70-some-year-old woman goes up there and walks to the end of the buckboard, grabs that Watusi's horns, and starts wrestling him like a dog did, trying to bring him down. Her daughter was over here on the side, cowering with the rest of us, the children. Well, I was protecting him at that time. Her daughter starts hollering out, "Mama, quit! You're going to make him mad!" They love that. That feed, you take that. Children, you go to a petting zoo, and what do? You put some feed, those little pellets in their hands. and they'd hold it out, right? Here's what we're getting a picture of. Here's what we're getting an illustration of. Holding that out, and that animal will come and eat from your hand. Now, you got to understand. You got to understand. These animals, they have a bowl that's filled with this or different foods. And that's where they usually eat. To receive food from your hands, to receive food when that child goes like that, it allows something to transpire that David is talking about, that he literally has understood about God and what he does. When you hold that food out, it allows something to take place. You see, a bonding, an interaction between the both of you that creates an air of trust and security. This is what he's saying. When in your times of need, God will literally hold out his hand to you to bring you to him. And as you receive from him, it builds a bond of trust and intimacy with Almighty God. This is what David is trying to get across. I want to ask you this. Do you have that kind of intimacy with our God? It's not because God doesn't want to have it. It's because we refuse to give it to him. We refuse to come to him. Look with me at verse 18. See, that's what God does in our lives. Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Not only is God available to you in your time of need, but let me tell you something. He's close to you. He's close to you. He's not a long distance concept, but a very present help in our times of need. Amen? Yeah, amen. Aren't you glad that God's not long distance? You don't have to go through the operator. Operator, give me information, information. Get me Jesus on the line. No, you pick up the phone and say, Daddy. And he says, yes, my child. You pick up that spiritual prayer phone and you say, Father, I've got a need and I need you. I remember one time, my daughter, she was real young, and I think a storm had come up, and she was scared. She was sleeping at night, and she started crying, Daddy, Daddy, Mama, Mama. And I went in there, and I hollered out. I said, it's okay, it's just a storm, it's okay. That didn't help. That didn't help. That didn't bring the comfort she needed. Yeah. And then I realized that's not going to help her. That's not what she needs. You see, our God understands that. He knows what we need. He knows what our help is. And then I went in to a room, and I laid there on her bed, and I put my arms around her, and I said, it's okay, baby. Daddy's here. I got you. It's going to be okay. She went right off to sleep. Aren't you glad God's close to us that way? Aren't you glad that God's available to you that way if you need him? Praise God. Praise God. He's a God that's there. You know, I want you to look, though. I want you to see something here. There have been times I've come to God and I've prayed and I ain't getting an answer. God, I don't know why you want to answer me. I'm not getting a no. I'm not getting a yes. I'm not even getting a wait. I'm not getting anything. God says, well, you're not coming the right way. You're coming the wrong way. Come here. Look here. It says the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. But it doesn't stop there, does it? He continues with that thought. He says to all that call upon him in what?
Truth.
To worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means when you come to prayer, don't be playing games with God. God knows. And see, we come to God sometimes in our prayer time, and we feel like God is so distant. God's not the one who's moved. I can tell you that. God's not the one who took up residence somewhere else. God's not the one who took the left fork in the road. God's right there. God's right there. Listen, he says here, one of the reasons you don't feel it, you don't know it, you don't see it, you're not experiencing it, because you're not in truth. A lot of times, we'll sit there and we've come to God and we'll offer up pretty prayers. We'll come to God and we'll say these prayers and we'll expect God, like a short order cook, fix our order, get it ready. I'm ready to go. Let me have it. Bag it up. I'm gone. I'm out the door. You know, I've laid my prayer money on the table here, God. You know, go ahead and take care of this. No, we don't. God says you need to come to me in truth. A lot of times we'll come to God and we'll be sharing something with him. And God says, come on, bring out the whole thing. You ever talk to your kids? Come on now. You know, you got teenagers, especially if you got teenagers. You have to question them, don't you? You got to ask. You can't just go face value what that child's going to say because they're holding something back on you. Most of the time, that's the way it is. Daddy, I wrecked the car. How'd you wreck the car? You ain't even supposed to be driving. Were you driving the car?
Yeah.
Did you know you weren't supposed to drive the car? Well, I thought it'd be okay if I just moved it because I was going to take the trash out and I didn't want to go around it, so I figured I'd move it and take the trash can down to the road. You know, you have to question it. Sometimes God does that with us. He says, come to me in truth. It's kind of like Norman Vincent Peale. I remember reading a story he talked about one time in an autobiography. He mentioned when he was young. Can I come off the pulpit?
Sure.
Yeah. I did that one time, and a lady goes, oh. Norman Vincent Peale. He was a young fellow, and him and his daddy went to town one day, and as he was roaming around, you know, kids could do that to me. He was kind of roaming. He found a black stogie cigar, about that big. And he said that, now he knew his daddy told him he didn't want to smoke it. And he wasn't allowed to. And he knew it was wrong, but he found him a match like that thing. And he went to a back alley, and he decided he was going to enjoy that black stogie cigar. Norman said he lit that thing up, and he was puffing on it. This is good. He was puffing on it, and then he looked down the alleyway at the mouth of the alley. All of a sudden, guess who stepped in? That doesn't happen like that. Yes, of all people in town, his daddy had to come down that alley at that time. God's good. Norman said he was sitting there and he saw his daddy coming. He didn't have time to put a thing out. He cut that stogie cigar, stuck it behind his back, and held it there. And his daddy comes up and says, begin to tell Norman, when you get home, I need you to take care of some things. You've got to do some chores, and I need you to take care of those before I get home. So I'm going to have to head on out. Norman said he was looking around trying to figure out some way to divert his dad's attention because he's going to notice there's smoke coming out from behind him. He said he looked up on the wall and there was a poster about the circus coming to town. And he looks up and he diverts his dad's attention. Hey, Daddy, you see the circus? They're coming to town. Can we go, Daddy? Can we go? Please, can we go to the circus now when it comes to town? He said, never forget what his daddy told him. His daddy stopped and says, Norman, hold it, son. Let me tell you something. Don't ever, ever ask for a blessing while holding a smoldering disobedience behind your back. Listen, what this verse is telling us is that very same thing, is it not?
Yeah.
It's telling us, don't come to God and not come to him in truth. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Now look at verse 19. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. This is what God does.
Yes.
The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy.
Yes.
When you think about it, and you think about the greatness of God, you can't help but bless him with praise. Our God, think about it, is all-knowing. He knows our faults. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our sins.
Amen.
He knows our rebellions. And yet, he loves us. Our God is all-powerful. Think, really, honestly, he could snuff us all out in an instant. Yet, he continues to bless us and bless us and bless us. Our God is all present. He's everywhere at all times. He watches us and wants to be involved in what we do. Isn't it amazing that wherever you're at, God is there? God is where I'm at, wherever I'm at. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome about our God? Yeah, you know, you think about that. He wants to be involved. Yet all of this, he's everywhere, all present. And he shows grace. And he leads us in our lives away from spiritual and physical danger. When we think about the greatness of God compared to our sin, we can't help but bless his awesome name. God not only reveals, I want you to hear this, God not only reveals his greatness to us, he also wants to share his greatness with us. David says, this is who our God is. This is what our God does. And people need to know about it. And when they do, they're going to talk. Look at verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Look at verses 6 and 7. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Folks, I tell you this, one thing I know, men are going to talk. People are going to talk. Yes. And they want to know. People out here in this world, they want to know. They're looking. They're searching. They're seeking. And they want to know. So it's up to us. It's up to you and I to tell them. You know, people talk about a lot of things. And honestly, we've got opinions. We got about as many opinions or more than we got elbows. You've got at least two. You know? Sometimes it's like how many toes you got. You've got that many opinions. People have opinions on almost everything under the sun. We can talk and talk and talk about so many things. But the one thing that will matter the most and show where our heart truly is, where we are, is when we tell and talk about how great our Lord is. Yes. Amen. I met a guy at the hospital the other day. Nurse told him he needed to shut up. He was talking to us about God. I initiated the conversation by saying, hey, you want to join us in prayer? And he said, definitely. Yes. He's from Niger, Africa. And he's here working at the hospital, at Duke Hospital. And when I asked him, you want to join us in prayer? He lit up. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know? And so he joins us in prayer. Then he starts sharing his story. And a nurse comes by and hears him say Jesus. And she says, you need to shut up. You can't talk about that here. Now, most folks would have shut up. He says, ooh, I can't help but talk about him here. That's exactly what he said. I can't help but talk about him here. And I looked at the nurse. I said, I initiated this conversation. Thank you very much. You can go your own way, or you can join us if you want to know. Bless my heart. Listen, we need to. David, we need to share. Look at verse 1. David says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. I wonder out of the conversation, the total amount of words that we speak, how much of them are about God? You know we're gonna have to give an account of every word we've spoken. Every word we speak is written down. Did you know that? I wonder if God tallies up how much of that conversations that we have are about him and his greatness, his glory. Some of us are going to be pretty ashamed. Some of us are going to be hanging our heads when we have to stand before a holy and righteous God who we say loved us, lived for us, died for us, gave his life for us, whose blood was shed for us, who provided us an opportunity and availability to go to heaven, to be with him for eternity in his everlasting kingdom. I wonder. David goes on to say, he says, I'll bless thy name forever and ever. In verse 2, every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Being human, we naturally, you know, we do. We naturally ascribe praise to other people and other things, don't we? We do. We clap when we hear a singer belt out that fire. I mean, you think about it. Miss Helen was up here singing. I've heard her, Ricky, and Debbie come sing, and I've been in scenes where they've been. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only do you hear clapping, but bless God, when she hits some of them notes, folks jump up and, whoa, they get a giddy up and they get along. They get to shouting. Amen? We'll hear somebody hit a note. We'll hear somebody praise the Lord like that. We'll just shout right then. Hallelujah. You know, we'll hear somebody sing. We'll go to one of them Jimmy Buffett concerts. And we'll get out there, whoo, and we'll get little lights and shine them. This little light of mine. We'll do that. We get out there and we give praise to them. We clap for them. Hi, that was good. I'm telling you, that better than white chocolate. Not better than chocolate, but that better than white chocolate. My goodness. We roar with the crowd when we watch an athlete make an incredible move. You let a basketball player, football player, soccer player, you let a baseball player, you, as slow as baseball is, and I know you got some baseball players out here, but you guys, I'm telling you, that's a slow game. But you let one of them hit a home run and folks would jump up and shout. Wah! We paint ourselves, don't we? We get out there and wear cheese on our head. Look silly, look stupid. Well, I can't go tell somebody about Jesus. I look stupid. I look silly. But we'll paint our bodies. We'll wear things. We'll do things. Oh, my gosh. I can put a ball team sticker on my car, but I can't put Jesus loves you on there. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. We stand and we cheer when a loved one performs remarkably. Oh, my gosh. We say, oh, baby, that was good. Oh, baby. That's my baby right there. You know who that baby belongs to? That's my baby. We identify with them. But then we can't identify with Jesus. What's wrong with us? What's happened to us? We'll praise other things, other people. But we don't have the time to stop and give the praise to God who deserves it most, who's done more for us than anyone could ever. Something's wrong. God designed us. Listen, don't get me wrong. God designed us to enjoy greatness. But we miss out on true greatness when we don't give all the glory to God for his greatness and all that he accomplishes in the world. Again, he's both revealed his greatness and wants to share it with humanity. You know, we've got a responsibility, people. Church. That's why we're the church, to continue the work that Jesus started for us here on this earth, that others would come to know who Jesus is. Sad to say, some churches have lost sight of what they've been called to do. They've lost sight of the commission. You know what the commission is? We join Jesus in the work that God has. Kingdom work, God's work. There is no greater or better work than that. Amen? We say it, but do we practice it? That's the thing. I've been to churches. I have been to a church that they literally along the inside of the sanctuary were shelves, and there were little idols, I would call them statues, of where they had won in this competition, that competition, ball game after ball game. Matter of fact, a buddy of mine, they called him to be a preacher, and the reason, one of the main questions they wanted to know, how good are you in baseball? Can you pitch? That was why they were calling him, because he was a great athlete. It wasn't because he preached the word of God or was a man of God. And they lost sight of what God established them to be. Yes. Too many churches have lost sight. Yes. We need to hold on to that. We need to govern that. We need to protect that. We need to cherish that, because it's about who we are as the people of God. Amen? Yeah. We're to be the ones to share with the world. You know, we use Twitter and emails and WeChat, WhatsApp, Tumblr, Linklet, Pinterest, all these Instagrams and Google Plus and all these things to go out and share all sorts of things. But we tend not to share the most important thing. And something's wrong. Something's wrong. You know, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. I want to challenge you. Do this. How many of you have Google at home? I had the TV on. The TV had a commercial, and the commercial was about Google at home. It says, hey, Google. And my Google jumped up and says, I don't think I can answer that question. Well, I didn't ask you a question. It was the TV. But I did ask Google, how do you get saved? Google, tell me, How can I go to heaven? I don't have an answer for that. You kind of stupid, ain't you, Google? Google, you're supposed to be smart. You're supposed to have all the answers because everybody goes to you for answers. This morning, just to make sure that I was right in line, I sat there because Google, I said, Google, tell me about God. I can't do that. I don't have that information. I said, Google, tell me about the love of God. Same thing over and over. Can't do that. Wasn't designed for that. You're right. But the church was. Then I did ask this. I asked Google. I said, Google, how do I get... I had to say it a certain way. See, with Google, you have to say it a certain way or you ain't getting nowhere. And I tried every way I could think of. And finally, I said, Google, how do I get saved? And she referred me to some sort of reference guide, Britannica thing. But what she said was right. But she didn't know that personally. And it didn't mean a whole lot to me because she didn't know it personally. She was referring me somewhere else rather than to the King of Glory.
Yes.
Look at verse 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. I'm winding down for some of you that are wondering. Somebody's gone out and I smell that food coming up this way. That's good. Y'all are smart. Y'all ain't a dumb congregation. I'm going to tell you. You got food. You want the preacher to quit? Open that door and waft that food smell in. That's like popcorn. It goes everywhere, buddy. And people that like popcorn, they're like, their mouth starts watering. I'm about to get this mouth thing wet. Verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. I got a question for you today. Will you look at verse 10 through 12? All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints. You didn't know that word was in the Old Testament, did you? And thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Look at verse 21 as he closes out this song of praise to the greatness of God. Look at this. This is a commitment. I wonder, would you make this commitment that one day wouldn't go by that you wouldn't speak of the glory of God to somebody? He says in verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Man, to think about. Think about our God who is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipowerful. It's almost beyond our comprehension, isn't it? Because we live in a world of weaknesses, breakdowns, expiration dates, limitations. Sometimes it's difficult for us to imagine a being with no weaknesses, no end, no beginning, or no limits to him or his ability. Yet our God is infinite in all of his qualities. In fact, we could spend a lifetime ascribing greatness to God, adding more and more greatness to him every day, and would never reach the end of his greatness. Look at verse 3. It tells us that God's greatness is absolutely unimaginable. There's no end. It's as great as the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. There's no end to it. That's who our God is. That's what our God does. That's who men need to hear about in this world. And that's...